test between those on the left side, those on the left side and those on the right side, all right? Now, you understand who's on the right hand of God, right? Those on the right, tell me who's sitting on the right hand of God. Huh? You are, okay? That's great, all right? In the Bible, what's the Bible call those on the right hand? The sheep. So it's a contest between those on the right hand and those on the left hand. So it's the sheep against the goats, okay? All right, as quickly as you can, listen to the question. Shout out the answers. It's the first one to five tonight, okay? First one to five. You ready? What's the best book in the world? Over here, the goats are one, the sheep are zero, all right? This is for those who are over 40 years of age, all right? Who was the first woman? Oh, the sheep got that. Shout out the answers if you know them, all right? This is for anybody that's over 80 years of age. Anybody that's over 80 years of age, what's the first book in the Bible? Now, that sounded like a mighty young Genesis back there. Is that right? Okay, we'll do that again. Anybody under 12 years of age, what's the first book in the New Testament? Puckett, you are not under 12. Well, we give that to the sheep because mentally he qualifies. He's under 12, all right? But don't try to get it if you're over 55. We're going by your mental age, okay? Okay. All right, next question. The Bible in three sentences. Did anybody over here know the answer to that? I couldn't. You shouted it out. All right. Okay. Give each of you a point for that. How's that sound? Okay. Give each of you a point for that. All right. Here's the clincher. The third book of poetry. Proverbs. One over here. All right. The third book of poetry over here. Number of minor prophets. 12 over here, all right. Who built the ark?
Noah.
Boy, that was close. That was close. The first man?
Adam.
Oh, that is good. You what? Turn on my right ear, okay? Amen. I've got some amens from the sheep over here. All right, last question. First man to build an ark.
Noah!
Over here. I thought I'd trick you up with that one. So the goats get it tonight. Goats get it tonight. Okay, let's get to this learning some Bible facts. What? I've lost my blue card. How could I have lost my blue card? Oh, we need to deal with that that other question, and that is how many years is it from the flood until the birth of Isaac? What have you got?
700.
747. Anybody got another answer? Number of years from the flood to the birth of Isaac. Anybody, did you work on it at all?
387.
Is that what you said?
387.
Do we have another number? 390. How many have 392? That's great, but you're wrong. And it's not 700, and it's not 387. I'm going to give you one more week on it. One more week on it to figure out the number of years from the flood until the birth of Isaac. Huh? No. This is the question. This is the question for those who really want to get inside and study the Word. That's really what visitors. Let me tell you what we're trying to do. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. We don't know these Bible stories like we ought to. So we've changed our Sunday night services to just trying to learn Bible stories and learning the applications of these stories. We're trying to make it fun and competitive and all this other kind of good stuff. I guess that's a good way to describe it. But we're studying the book of Genesis. Genesis means what?
Beginning,
all right? And the first man's name is? Adam. Made from?
Dust,
first woman,
Eve
made from?
Adam's
rib. On what day did God make the light?
First firmament.
Give me a first day. Okay? Give me a firm answer about what God made on the second day.
Firmament.
Firmament. All right. And the third day he made?
Sea,
land, vegetation. Fourth day he made?
Sun,
moon, and stars. And the fifth day he made?
Fish
and birds. Okay. And the sixth day he made?
Animals.
And the seventh day?
He rested.
All right. The man who walked with God?
Enoch.
The oldest man of the Bible.
Methuselah.
How many years did he live? Is this so good? I'm just so glad you know this. It's not on the final test to get into heaven. But I'm telling you, faith comes from knowing these Bible stories. You got to think about what it means to walk with God. And how many doors in the ark?
One.
How many windows in the ark? What mountain did the ark rest on?
Ararat.
What kind of wood was the ark built out of?
Gopher
wood. That is great. Some teenagers told me one time that a teenager in New Zealand said, you know, he really thinks that God just told Noah to go for wood. Because he couldn't figure out what kind of wood gopher wood was, so he just decided that God said to him, go for wood, okay? And I don't know if that's any help for you to forget that or not. Last week we were talking about the matter of languages, and the name of that tower is what?
Tower
of Babel. If I ask you which chapter in the Bible has Noah and the flood, what chapters would you say? Genesis 6 through 9. It's on the blue cards. If I ask you in the Bible where I read about the creation, where would you get it?
Genesis.
What about the sacrifice of Isaac? Now, we haven't read, haven't discussed that here. It's in chapter 22. If I ask you in the Bible where is the location of the verse that God created male and female? We don't know this as well. Genesis 1:27. If I ask you where God breathed into man the breath of life? Genesis 2:7, the first prophecy about Jesus. Genesis 3:15, all right? God made the world in 6 literal days. Exodus 20, verse 11. You got to work on these guys, okay? Because somebody says, well, you know, you're going too slow. Well, I'm not going so slow that you've memorized these chapters, right? And I understand, and I hope you understand the situation we find ourselves in, and that is, there's some folks in here that know a lot about the Bible. That's why we throw out these harder Bible questions about how many years was it. That is for you. Those are challenging kinds of questions. And if you think you're a great Bible student, then find the answer. Nobody's found the answer. Tonight, nobody's given the right answer about the number of years from the flood. How many what?
391.
You're wrong, okay? 391, okay? If I tell you it's over 400, would that help? That will hush you up, except for Novell over here found 700 years, okay? 747, but that's not the right answer. So those questions, and the reason we throw those out, it's just for the benefit of those of you who readily know a lot of these, but you don't readily know these locations or these chapters. You need to work on that, because when we get to the book of Leviticus, there's going to be a lot of stuff that you do not know. You're going to be like some of these babes in Christ who are, you know, those people who are just coming into the church who think, man, I don't know any of these answers. Let's talk about the call of Abraham. That's in Genesis chapter 12. Let me see if we covered all these questions so far in the beginning. What was created on each day? What happened on the seventh day? Okay, the first home was? Garden of Eden. Who tempted Eve? Who was the first, who killed his brother?
Cain.
All right. And the first murderer in the Bible was? Satan. John 8:44 says Satan was the first murderer. And was a murderer from the beginning. So evidently he killed Adam and Eve. That's the only application that I know of that. And so the reason we didn't put the first murderer on this card is because of that verse in John 8:44. Who killed his brother? Cain. Why did Cain kill his brother? Because he was able. That's what my granddad taught me, okay? My granddad used to ask me these, he was a preacher, you know, and he just had all of these questions, like, where's baseball first mentioned in the Bible?
In the big inning,
baseball, football or basketball mentioned? Huh? Joshua passed over Jordan. Okay, I mean, surely you knew football and basketball and then tennis.
David served in Saul's court.
All right. Solomon served in the outer court. That's close enough. That's great-grandson of my grandfather, and he's got it almost. Yeah. And so Since he's on the left side, that's 6 for this group over here. All right, way to go. Okay, that's great. Okay, and let's see. Is there another one? The kind of car the apostles drove. They were in one accord, the Bible says. So that's in Acts chapter 2. So there are a lot of these Bible trivia questions that are not on here because we tried to put Bible verses with all of this. Enoch walked with God, Methuselah, the oldest man, built the ark, Noah's 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Anybody know who the oldest son is? Not Shem. You got 2 choices now. It's not Shem. It's Japheth. It is Japheth is the oldest son. And you read that when you get a little bit later over in the chapter. Number of days it rained during the flood? 40 days and 40 nights. Where the ark landed? What mountain? Mount Ararat. Sign given to Moses. Or part sign given to Noah. Sign of the promise God made. The rainbow. All right. And the tower to heaven is the Tower of Babel. All right. Okay, let's talk about the 3 Hebrew fathers here. We call them patriarchs. What's the word patriarch mean? Father rule. It's a very common word. You know, you think of a monarch means one ruler. And so you've got a theocracy. That's God ruling. And so a patriarch, the Hebrew word for father is patri. Anglicize it. And so you just put 2... not Hebrew word, but 2 Greek words together, patri and ark, and that means father rule. And so we refer to these individuals as patriarchs. How many individuals in the Bible are called patriarchs? 14 individuals in the Bible are called patriarchs. Acts chapter 7, verse what, Chuck, what verse? 7 verse 8. It says there are 12 patriarchs. 7:9 talks of, mentions them again, at least some of them again. And then the Bible talks about Abraham being a patriarch. And the other thing is David's called a patriarch. And we point that out simply because, you know, we need to recognize the problem that we've sometimes. It's a good biblical word because it describes God's relationship. During that period of time, there was no formal religion. There was no national religion. There was not. God gave the message to the Father, and it was the Father's responsibility to pass that message on. And I sometimes wonder, how long did Adam live? Anybody know about how? I'm gonna ask this. You can get it. About how long did he live? 930 years is how long he lived. Now think about him and how many generations he could have talked to. Could Adam have talked to Seth? Well, I'd hope so. That's his son. What about Enos? What about Keanu? What about Mahalia? What about Jerry? Did Adam know Enoch? I mean, you see, that's some of the math that you can do in there. You can see how close Adam gets down. Did Adam know Noah? Is it possible Adam could have known Noah? Well, he could not have, okay? But it's... but you can get that close and... So I find that really interesting that we think about patriarch, and if we're not careful, we'll assume that God talked to Adam, and God talked to Seth, and God talked to Enos, and God talked to Keanu. You know, all of those individuals in the genealogy. He would not have had to. He could have just continued to give the revelation through Adam. I mean, the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of insight in that at all. In fact, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 said he spoke to the fathers by the prophets. You know, that doesn't even get us back to the patriarchal age. That gets us over to the Mosaical age. But we know it was a family religion. It's like the individual in the Bible had 10 sons, and he offered sacrifices for 10 children. And he offered sacrifices for his children. You remember who that was? It was Job. And so whenever they would get together, at some time, if perhaps they may have sinned or for some reason, Job offered sacrifices on behalf of his sons and or sons and daughters. And so when we use the word patriarch, that's what we're talking about. It's that period of time before there was the Mosaic age, there was the patriarchal age. And that's just a term. It's an invented term. And we need to recognize that one of the reasons we had trouble finding David as a patriarch is he doesn't live in the patriarchal age. And that's why I asked that question, is to help us understand that the word patriarch just means a father, an ancient father. And that's why David is called that. All right. So we got those 3 ages. We mentioned the patriarchal age with the Mosaic age. And what's the 3rd age? Christian age. And so that's on the white cards for those of you who are visiting with us. That the three ages of Bible history are there. Where's Harrison? Is Harrison here? Is Harrison awake? Harrison, could I ask you, could you come here, Harrison? Harrison, I want to ask you a Bible question, okay? I don't mind. If you come over here, Harrison, can you get over here? All right, Harrison, here's the microphone, okay? I want to ask you this right now, and I want you to tell me if you know, okay? Do you think you know the answer about the Bible in three sentences? Come up here close to the mic so I'll be able to hear you, all right? The Bible in three sentences is what?
Someone is here, someone's coming, someone's coming again.
All right. All right. Now, if you're 4 years of age and you can get that, the rest of us ought to be able to get that. I just thought that was just great. Thank you, Harrison. Thank you very much. He gave it to me last week by saying somebody's here, somebody's not here, and somebody's coming again, which I thought is equally good. And those are good answers, Harrison. We're really proud of you, and we'll do this for others and everything. But he's just the youngest, and I won't say the cutest, but he's all right, isn't he? And thank you, Holly. Thank you. Thank you for putting faith in his heart. And, you know, he doesn't even know what's happening, and he's having faith in God put in his heart. Don't you wish you had known that 4 years of age, the Bible in three sentences, somebody's coming, somebody's here, somebody's coming again. How old were you before you learned that? I won't ask you, Buzz, but how old were you, you know? But you understand what I'm talking about. I mean, that to just know that when he picks up the Bible, part of the Bible is going to talk about somebody's coming. The next part's going to say he's here. And the next part says he's coming again. So these answers are not just something we just arbitrarily throw out. So we got over to Abraham. And what do you know about Abraham? Anyone by chance know Abraham's father? It's not on the card, but does anybody remember the name of Abraham's father? Terah. What do you know about Terah, about his faith? How faithful was Terah?
Not.
Joshua chapter 24 says he was an idolater. That makes Abraham's faith even more remarkable. I want you to think that through now. The faith of Abraham, he grows up in a home where there's idolatry, and yet he has faith in God. Now you can do the math to see, is there any chance that Abraham could have known Noah? About how long did Noah live? 950 years, exactly, 900 years. The flood came when Noah was 600 years of age. And then he lived another 350 years after the flood. And so you start talking about how old Shem was when he gave birth, and how many years after the flood Arphaxad was born, and Sailor and Eber and Peleg and Reu and Serug and Nahor and Terah, you know. Could they have known Abraham? And that's some of the things. If you want to get in and study the Bible, you know, we could do that here. We could do that in this class. But all you got to do is just sit down and just start with, when the flood is, and you know that Arphaxad is born 2 years after the flood. That means that Adam's 603 whenever Arphaxad is born. Well, when Arphaxad has Shem, or fact said Sailor, when he has Sailor, how old is he? Well, it's another 35 years. Add 35 to that number. You just keep working on down. Abraham had faith in God. And God comes to Abraham, and God makes some promises to Abraham. In fact, he makes three promises to Abraham. And that's not on the card. That's not, at least it's not on the prophet card. It's either on the priest card or the other card. The threefold promise made to Abraham is critical to know. Young people, learn this while you're young. Katie and Kelly, learn this while you're young. The three promises that God made. Here's the three promises. Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. A great nation. The world's become evil just like it had in Noah's day, even Terah, you know, not that far removed from Noah. In that genealogy, you don't read about an Enoch who walked with God. You don't read of great men of faith during that genealogy. And so God comes to Abraham and says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Then he says, I'm going to put you in a great land. And then he says, in your seed, singular, the whole world is going to be blessed. Now the reason that word seed being singular is important is because Paul makes the argument in Galatians that the word is singular, therefore it cannot refer to all of the descendants of Abraham, that's to be the blessing to the world, but one individual. And to thy seed, singular, who is Christ. And so he says, make a great nation of you, put you in a great land, and send a great Savior in your seed. Understand, the biblical terminology, in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Great nation, in a great land, and a great Savior is going to come. And I cannot overemphasize the importance of knowing that. Whenever you think about the patriarchal age, don't just think about what the word patriarch and the father rule and all of that. It's with the three patriarchs that's on the card, it's to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob that he makes this threefold promise. Now, we know the great nation, we know the great land, and we know the great Savior. Now, let's get our Bibles out. Let's just do this just as quickly as we can. Look in the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Look at the promises here that's given. And if I were going to mark my Bible and I did not know where these things were in the Bible, man, I guarantee you, I would write these things down in my Bible. I write down the threefold promise here as we look at it. The Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in your families, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now that's the first time that promise is stated, in a vague way. Look over in chapter 15. In chapter 15, on verse 18. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. I'm going to give you this land. And he mentions these nations that are here. Look again, after the trouble that he has with Lot, and God makes this promise again in relationship to that. That's got to be chapter, where is it, 18? No, that's not the one I want. It's when Lot takes the good land. Where is that? Is that the one I just looked at? I missed the one in 13. Yes, look in 13. Genesis chapter 13. That's the one I overlooked. The Lord had said to Abram, verse 14, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now from this place we are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see I will give to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Arise and walk through the length and the breadth of it, for I have given it to you. So Abraham moved his tent. So there are the three promises. In you all the families of the earth will be blessed. I'll give you this land, and I'll make of you a great nation. Now look over into chapter 22, after Abraham offers Isaac. We'll come back and talk about this in a minute in the card. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. In your seed, you with me? Genesis 22, 18, hurry. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Go back a little bit early in the chapter, starting in verse 16. By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sands which are on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of his enemies. That's the great nation. Possessing the gate is the land, and in your seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. Look over into chapter 26. In chapter 26, the promise that God makes to Abraham, he makes to Isaac. Chapter 26, verse 3, dwell in this land, for I will be with you and bless you, and your descendants will I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swear to Abram your father. I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven, give your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. There it is again. I'll make of you a great nation, numerous as the stars of the heaven. I will give you these land, and in your seed, singular, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Chapter 28, the promise is repeated to Jacob. Chapter 28, verse 14, starting in verse 13. Chapter 28, verse 13. I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Threefold promise. Really, really important. And that's not on the prophet card, but you need to know this threefold promise God made to Abraham, chapter 22, verse 18, to Isaac, chapter 26, verse 4, and to Jacob, chapter 28, verse 14. I'll make of you a great nation, put you in a great land, and send a great Savior. Got that? That is really critically, critically important. Okay, let's get back and talk about one other thing. That is the offering of Isaac. God comes to Abram and says, Abraham that you're going to have a son. And Abraham's wife's name is what?
Sarah.
And the name of that son that he promised is what?
Isaac.
Now, the name of the wife is Sarah. The name of the son is Isaac. Now, when God makes this promise to Abraham, he doesn't have any children. In fact, his name is not Abraham. His name is still Abram. Abram means exalted father. And God comes to a man who's 80 plus years of age and says, I'm going to change your name to Abraham. You know the meaning of the word Abraham? Father of the multitudes. Here's a man 80 plus years of age that doesn't have any children. And God said, I'm going to change your name, and your name from now on will be Father of the multitudes. Well, Sarah tries to help God fulfill the promise. Or, you know, at least she wants Abraham to have a descendant. And so Sarah has a handmaiden. And she says to Abraham, go have a child. Go, you know, conceive a child with my handmaiden. And the name of that handmaiden was what? What's her name?
Hagar.
The name of the child who was born of that marriage is Ishmael. Ishmael, by the way, has many children. I think there has 12 sons, or there are 12 tribes that come out of Ishmael. That's an amazing fulfillment of the promise, except it's not the fullest fulfillment of the promise. And so it's not going to happen that way. Sarah shall conceive. And so when Abraham is 100 years of age, he has a son whose name is Isaac. What's the word Isaac mean? Laughter. Who laughed about having a son?
Sarah.
Who else laughed about having a son? Both Abraham and Sarah. Abraham laughed for joy. Sarah laughed because she couldn't believe it was going to happen. I love Romans chapter 4 that said, he staggered not at the promises of God. Here's a man who's past the age of bearing children when he's 80 plus years of age. And God says, change your name to Abraham. I'm going to make of you a great nation. We'll have children like the sand on the seashore and like the stars in the heaven. That's a staggering promise. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, I hope you know the story about him offering Isaac. God tells him to go offer his son. He takes his son. What time of day does he leave?
Early
in the morning. What's he carrying with him? Firewood and fire. He's carrying firewood and fire and Isaac.
And a knife.
And a knife, okay? And he has some servants with him. When they get over to the mountains of Moriah, does that ring a bell at all? Do you know that one of the mountains in the city of Jerusalem is Mount Moriah? That's where Isaac was offered. Inside the walls of that city, which was later to be Jerusalem. So he goes there, and as they're going up to the top of the mountain, Isaac says what? Here's the fire. Here's the wood. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. Abraham pulls that knife out. He's ready to kill his son. His son is bound. And lo and behold, the Lord stops him slaying his son. Because over there in the bushes is a ram. God will provide for himself a sacrifice. Folks, we've got to climb that mountain in our lives. There are times in our lives whenever all we've got is what God said. But He'll never disappoint us. And the Hebrew word there for God is Jehovah. The word for provide is Jireh. We need to know Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. And when we're climbing to the top of the mountain, we have no idea what's going to happen when we get to the top. We just know that God says, just keep doing this. We need to learn to say Jehovah Jireh. And, when you're young, it's hard to have faith that He's going to, you know. When I was your age, it was hard to have faith that God was going to take care of me. God would work this thing out. When I was having problems in school and having all of those things happening in my life, you know, and had these dumb parents. You understand what I'm talking about? Don't shake or nod. But I think, how on earth is God going to work this out? But having lived all of these years, Laban said to Jacob, I have learned by experience that God's going to take care of you. And those of us who are older in the Lord need to unashamedly say to those who are younger, I have learned by experience Jehovah Jireh. There have been some dark moments in the lives of every one of us, and we just need to say Jehovah Jireh, don't we? Yeah, that's what He said He'd do. That's what He said He would do. Okay, is that enough of this? Let's have another contest. David, where's David? I don't even know where David is. Oh, he's back there. Okay, David knows the answer, by the way, to how many years there is. Okay, we're going to do it this way. We're going to do against the... everybody over here is going to be goats. And everybody over here is going to be sheep. So it's going to be everybody against these guys over here at the control booths, okay? Because they sit over here week after week, and only when we come over here do they get to be a part of the class. So you guys don't feel outnumbered, right? Jehovah Jireh, okay? I don't know if He'll give you the answers, but He will provide, all right? It's you guys against these guys. You ready? How can you hear me over here? I'm just trying to be fair to these guys over here, okay? Who's getting all these answers over here, okay? He's looking around the corner. Okay, let's get back to the way we're going to do it. I just wanted to wake them up over there, okay? All right, let's go back over here. This time, it's everybody over 50 against everybody under 50. And... how am I going to know if you're over 50 or under 50? I will be the determining factor, okay?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Okay. How old are you, Nicole? Don't answer, okay?
I'm under
50. Under 50, all right, okay. Over 50 on this hand, under 50 on this hand. You ready? The fifth book of the New Testament. Under 50, all right. The book in the Bible before Jonah. Who was that? Chuck Milton, okay. See, in my mind, Chuck's the same age he was when I moved down here 27 years ago, okay. So then he was 23, so he's over 50. Okay, all right, okay. What did God make on the fourth day? Which is under 50? It's over here, okay. All right. On what day did God make mosquitoes? Sixth day. Listen to this young man over here. On the sixth day, okay, he's under 40, but we'll. Huh? It was Novell, okay. It was Novell that did it, okay. It was young Novell, okay. All right, here's one for you. In what chapter of the Bible do I read Abraham offering Isaac?
22.
I heard three different answers, and I honestly can't. Okay, 22. Chad, did you say that?
Yeah.
Okay, I was glad. You don't get any points for it, but I'm glad you're back there, okay? All right. Whereabouts in the Bible do I read God breathed into the man the breath of life? The second of the three promises God made to Isaac. Did somebody back there say great land? Chad, was that... Chad, that was not you. And I'm afraid to do this, so Sky, I'm going to put you under 50. Is that okay? Yeah, well under 50, okay. Okay, old folks. Oldest man of the Bible. Who walked with God? Okay, very good. From Noah.
To Abram, and it's 597.
That is so close.
It's right. Are you kidding me?
You did the math, all right. That is closer than the 390s that they were getting, okay? That's good. And it is not from Noah, it's from the flood until. You need a new calculator, all right. Listen, it's a real challenge. When I asked the question last week, I thought I knew the answer. And so this week, I sat down, I thought, I'd better study this. And when I studied it, I found out all of these years I was wrong about it. I took it into David. I said, David, this cannot be right. And so I brainwashed him, and he believes it's right, okay? And so there are two of us in here who know that it is more than 400 years. So you what? I know, and there are three of us that knows it's more than that. There are two of us in here who know exactly how many above 400 years it is, okay? That's great. Okay, all right. Okay, it's five after. David, anything else we need to do here? The Bible quiz is up. The prophet quiz is up. It's on the internet. The blue quiz is out there. What else we need to do? I know a lot of you want to go through that question and answer book. Should we do that? Because some of you are doing that. Not everyone's doing it, and so that's a supplementary study. But we might ought to take one night. But it doesn't work unless you got your blue book here. Okay. So I guess we just need to say on a Sunday morning, bring your blue books. A couple of things. Next Sunday night we will not meet at 6:00. We will not meet at 6:30. Therefore, you've got a week to figure out how many years was it from the flood until the time of the birth of Isaac. How many? 405 years, right? Is that what you said? You're wrong. More than 405, and that's all clues I'm going to give you. Go home, study it. And less than 475. How's that sound? Now look, this is not multiple choice. I'm not playing that game. You are dismissed. Let's go out and get everybody through the gospel meeting.